Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
We're starting a new series on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, we're following the week after Easter, the weeks after Easter, the Holy Spirit, this is where he really gets introduced into the church, into the scene of the biblical drama. And what we find here, I'm going to read to you from Acts chapter 1. And these are some of the last instructions of Jesus to his disciples. So when you're giving your last instructions to people, they tend to be important ones, don't they? If you know this is the last you're going to hear from me, I'm going to tell you things that are very, very important. And so it says, Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says, while he was with them, he commanded them, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the Father's promise, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. And so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now they wanted an earthly kingdom set up. Is this the time that we will now ascend into power? And he said, it doesn't matter when that's going to happen. What's going to happen is power is going to descend upon you. The power of the Holy Spirit. And then Paul, later in Romans chapter 5, Paul writes, he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. You say, what is the power that the Holy Spirit brings to our life? He fills our hearts with God's love, with his love. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And the purpose of that power is to fill our hearts with his love. Now the spirit of the world around us, I wouldn't call it the power of love. I would call it the power of fear. When you tune in to watch the news, you don't get filled with this prevailing sense of love for one another, do you? For other cultures, for government leaders, for anybody who's not you. It's one of the reasons I don't watch the news, because I don't need more fear. I also don't want to feed fear. But God does not lead us through fear. He leads us through love. It's his love in our lives. It's his love in the church. And, you know, the more we listen to the voice of fear, the less we are able to live out of the voice of love. The more that fear gets a hold of us, the less, because fear causes us to hold everything in. But love causes us to give. We cannot live in love. Or when we live in love, we cannot live in fear. One displaces the other. The contrast would be comparable to light and dark. You can't have light and dark in the same area. Love is like light. That if you turn on light in the dark, the dark is gone. It doesn't coexist with it. And that's love displaces fear. And you look at the heart of Jesus in his worst moments. In his worst moments of torture and torment, he's hanging on the cross. And his words towards those that are torturing and tormenting him is, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. These are words that this is a motivation out of his worst suffering. What does he put on display? It's love for his tormentors. You know, when the deeper we live in God's love, the more stable and the more planted, the more secure we become in our lives. And what is this power of love? I just want to keep singing that Huey Lewis song. But I'm not going to do it because you don't want to hear me sing. But, you know, there is something about that when we live in the power of God's love, it makes us strong and it makes us stable. I'm not talking about the kind of love that, you know, teenage love, that when you fall in love with someone for the very first time in your life and it is woo, woo, woo. I mean, you get dizzy, don't you? But for those of you that are older than the teenage or young 20-year-old years, you know that love isn't destined to last. That love has to change, doesn't it? That love has to transform into something deep and powerful that isn't just feelings. The love of God is not just feelings. It's stability. And the more we receive and give God's love, the more stable our lives become. The Holy Spirit is vital to the strength of our inner man. So vital that Jesus said, I don't want you to try and finish any more of this mission until you have received this power in your life, till you've received the Holy Spirit in your life. Jesus was emphasizing this, the internal stability that the love of God will bring, the power that it will bring to your life is vital to your success, not just as an individual, but the success of the church. A structural weakness, he also understands structural weakness is dangerous. If that internal structure of our heart is not strong, if we don't have something greater than just, you know, happy feelings, we need something stronger than that. Without it, things will collapse. I had a very interesting experience in the last couple of weeks where I was renovating a home. And it should have been a very simple job. It was a very simple, the customer just wanted the ceilings restippled and the walls painted. But the problem was there was a little bump in one area in the living room. And so I said, you know, this is no problem. That was probably just a water leak at some point. You know, it's a nice little round bump. It kind of looks like it was a water leak at some point, but then so we'll cut it out. We'll get it replaced. Well, we cut it out, and you know what's there? There's a beam that's starting to fall down. And what had happened is somebody in the past had renovated the house without a permit, and they decided they didn't like where the wall was in the home, so they just took it away. I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? Just take it away. And they just, you know, cover it over. And years later, it just keeps coming down. And it turns into, structure's important. I know it doesn't always, here's the thing, structure's not always convenient. You know, people will cut out teleposts out of their basement because it's in the middle of the rec room. And I've seen that many times, actually. But you can't take, no matter how inconvenient the structure is in the middle of the room, you need it there. It needs to be there. It's there for a purpose. And you know, this is sometimes, when it comes to our faith, we sometimes, there's things that aren't convenient all the time to do, but they're needed in our life. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself in my message, so we'll just. Now I'm lost in my message. And so anyways, back to this story. And while this wall had been removed years earlier, Now, years later, the compromise is starting to show by the fact that the ceiling is starting to fall down. And eventually, that ceiling, the owners will wake up after a big snowfall, and there will be an entire roof laying in the living room if it's not dealt with. When we aren't diligent to prioritize the strength of our inner world, what will happen is eventually there'll be a collapse. And this is part of the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, is to strengthen our inner world, to fill our hearts with the love of God in a way that keeps us strong. What happens when our inner world is weak? Well, you've probably experienced, outside pressure begins to overwhelm us. Our strength begins to become insufficient to handle the pressure that the outside world is beginning to exert. When our internal world is weak, or when our internal structure is weak, we start to live a reactive life. We start finding ourselves reacting to things rather than being proactive or be taking initiative. Our current media culture is filled with reactive living. And media, the dangerous thing about media is it's taken our attention and it's commoditized it against us. And if we pay too much attention to it, it ends up robbing us of our capacity to focus on inward strength. Reacting is not building. If all we do is react, then lots of energy goes out, but nothing actually gets built. You know what it's like when you're around a reactive person? It takes a lot of emotional energy out of you, doesn't it? You can nod or shake your head. But when you get around people that are highly reactive, it takes energy out of you. But when we're highly reactive, it takes our energy, but it doesn't build. And one of the promises of the Holy Spirit is that he will strengthen our inner world to be greater than the pressures of our outer world. There's a great word from the historic church. It's the word vivification, if you can say it. Vivification. You can say it with me. Vivification. Yeah, go ahead. Vivification. Vivification. And this is a term that the church had given. It's the process by which the Holy Spirit imparts new spiritual life to a believer, animating them with the life of Christ and empowering them to live in obedience, faith, and love. It is the positive aspect of sanctification, not just where the individual's turning away from sin, but being energized and renewed to live a life of righteousness and holiness. It's the empowering of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Paul was praying in Ephesians chapter 3. He says this: I pray that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his Spirit. Strengthened with power. Everybody say that. Strengthened with power in my inner being through his Spirit. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love. There's just something that happens. And the Holy Spirit wants to move us from outer pressure to inner power, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his Spirit. That there is a power inside of you that's available to you, but it's not from you. There's something living inside of us that is greater than just our greatest psychological resources that we can muster at the time. Because we all know, even the most self-disciplined of us know, we hit points where that psychological strength on the inside is insufficient to the day. Or we hit points in our life where maybe we've been strong our whole lives, but then there's a point where you realize, I don't have it in me to overcome this situation. The good news is there is a Holy Spirit inside of you that does have the power to meet that situation. 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul says this, therefore we do not give up, even though our outer person is being destroyed. Some of you see the reality of that in the mirror. Even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. Our outer person is getting old, it's getting frail, it's failing. But our inner person gets stronger and is renewed. The Holy Spirit, you receive a counselor. These are some of the things that Jesus taught of what the Holy Spirit, the role would be in our lives. You receive an inner counselor. When you don't know what to do, he can speak to you. You receive a guide. You don't know where to go, he can show you. You receive a comforter. The voice of God will never be condemning. He comforts. He brings hope. But you also receive one who will hold you accountable and convict of sin. You receive a teacher. You receive a helper who assists us. He assists us in everything from our weakness to the way that we pray and what we pray for. See, when outer pressure comes in, what it does is it shows us what we're full of. And just look to the person next to you, say, you're full of something. I won't make you do that too many more times. But we are all full of something, aren't we? We're all full of some spirit. We're all full of something. And what does pressure do? It shows you what you're full of. When everything's going good, we're not gonna lose our marbles when things are going well. What happens is when things are hard, that's that pressure, external pressure, it shows what spirit we have in us. And we have a very real enemy that wants us sick and weak, but we have a God and Savior who wants us filled with power. And not just reacting to whatever the culture around us vomits up today, but having us be taking initiative that comes from his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to strengthen our inner world so we can move from rumination. That's a word that I've just, you know, in the last few years, that you realize, let me talk more, and then what you'll realize with me. From rumination to a kingdom imagination. From rumination. Now, some of you are going to say, what does rumination mean? Rumination is this. It's a repetitive, passive focus on distressing thoughts or feelings. COVID just fostered it. Sit in your house, shut up, and worry. Not only are you not encouraged to do anything, you're an evil person if you do anything other than sit at home, watch your TV, and be fearful. And a lot of us ruminated. A lot of us thought about very negative, dark things for a very long season. And what happens with rumination is as addictive as heroin. The effect that dwelling on negative thoughts has on our brain, and now I'm just going to go a little bit psychological just for a moment. But what happens from a neuroscience point of view, there's no difference between rumination and full depression. It has the same effect on the way that our brain works. When we ruminate, we lose heart and we become fatalistic. When we dwell on negative thoughts, our brain gets stuck. And you actually have to take very intentional steps to get it unstuck. Rumination, here's a little bit of the scientific explanation. It deactivates Our dorsal lateral prefrontal cortex, which is the part of our brain that allows us to change our focus, to change what we concentrate on. So it deactivates these negative thoughts, deactivate this center, but they hyperactivate the amygdala, which is our fear, which is basically where our fear response, our fight or flight response. So it hyperactivates our fight and flight response, but it deactivates our ability to actually change what we're focusing on. And it also deactivates a section of our brain it suppresses a section of our brain that causes us to take action. And so you see, it creates this, let me do a simple explanation of it. It creates, by dwelling on negative thoughts, our brains get locked in an endless loop of fear and despair, and we become increasingly unable to take positive action. How many of you that would have described the last few years of your life? That the more you thought about it, the worse it got. We get locked in a negative loop of fear and despair, and we feel like we can't change anything. First of all, you can. And second of all, God will help you do it. He will partner with you to help you get out of this loop, this negative feedback loop that's taking place. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who's able to do above and beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And I just want to encourage you, the Holy Spirit was given to you to reveal God's love to you in your own, to fill your heart with his love, but it was also, the Holy Spirit was also given to redeem the way that you think. The way that we think, the way that we process information. And it's a really interesting thing. The first thing, when the Holy Spirit descends at Pentecost, and the first thing that Peter does when he explains, he refers back to a prophecy in the book of Joel, and we find, I'm going to read from Acts 2 where he's quoting the book of Joel, and he says, it will be in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all people. And then it goes on to say, then your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. What is he saying here? Why does he feel it's so important to stand up and quote this scripture at this time? Well, prophesying, visions, and dreams, this affects the way we speak. This is the affects the way we dream about the future or think about the future. And this affects right down to our actions. It affects how we speak, how we see, and how we dream. And when we see and dream the right things, the church becomes powerful. When we speak and see and dream the right things, it's life-changing. And sometimes we greatly underestimate how powerful negative thoughts can be in our life. But sometimes we greatly underestimate how powerful good thoughts can be. Good thinking, good speech, good action can be in our lives. The early church, you think about this. The church went from a handful of basically discouraged followers of Jesus within a couple generations, or within just a few generations, had completely upturned the Roman Empire without lifting a sword. They completely changed the civilized world within just a few generations. You can't tell me that's something that's not something that's powerful. And the Holy Spirit, Peter's saying here, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, when you allow the Holy Spirit to begin to work in and through you, it will start to change the way you see the world around you. It will start to change the way that you speak, the way you... We use the word prophecy, but we don't really... You know, if you say someone's prophesying, there's a bit of woo-woo with that, isn't there? Like it's a little bit... Some of you are like, ooh, I like prophecy. And then others of you are like, oh, that stuff's a little too kooky for me. Prophecy is just speaking the counsel of God. That's all it is. It's speaking the wisdom of God out loud. And so he's saying, when your sons and your daughter, he's saying that when the Holy Spirit comes on your sons and daughters, they will say things that are profound and wise. To which all of us parents said, hallelujah. If you say that. But Peter was saying that this, the Holy Spirit will change everything about the way that you look at and go through life. So how do we create an environment where the Holy Spirit can work in our lives and in our hearts? I have 2 minutes to get through 4 pages. So, first of all, erect healthy barriers to unhealthy influences. Social media, some of you doom scrolling is stealing your life. It's stealing your life. It's, you'll look back and it's like, what did I do with my life? I went like this. I'm not gonna say this like I haven't been caught in it. You know why? The algorithms are brilliant. They really are. And I was listening to one person who is in this industry, and it was on a podcast, and he was saying, you know, they try and make it sound like when you fail, it's because you're a failure. It's good. Well, you don't have enough self-will to win. So if you find yourself lost, and it's like there's this condemnation, the cycle of condemnation. And he said, what you don't understand is literally the most brilliant people in the world are working on these apps. Literally, the most, they make 7-figure incomes to figure out how to addict you to that app. And he said, you don't stand a chance. These people are smarter than you, and they know how to get you addicted. Guard your heart. That's a little bit of a side trail. Here's a good one. I ended up installing an app on my computer. You can just put it on your plugins, on your browser, and it's called Stay Focused is what it's called. I'm going to say that because you're going to ask me after, what's the name of that app? So it's called Stay Focused, and you program it, and you can put in certain websites. So I'm off all social except Instagram. It's the only thing that I still look at. But I have Instagram, and I have a time limit set on there of 15 minutes. And you can't override it. Like when you hit your limit, a little sign comes up that says, don't you have something better to do? To which my reaction every time is, why, yes. Yes, I do have something better to do. And you can't passcode override. You can change it, but it doesn't take effect till the next day. And by the next day, you realize, oh no, that rescued me. That rescued me and my time. Set up barriers. Guard your heart. Nobody else can do this for you. Nobody else can guard your heart like you can. The second thing, cultivate friendships that encourage you in your faith. And back to that, you know, the whole brain science thing, which I'm not going to claim to be an expert. I'm a podcast expert. But from a perspective, you know, good friendships are not just nice to have, but they actually shape the way our brain works. And you know, right after the Holy Spirit descends, the church grows, and we find this. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Every day they continued to meet together. They continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread, which is basically saying they ate together. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. There's something that when we have people that we break bread with, that the glad and sincere heart is connected to the breaking bread with people. It does something for our hearts. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. Okay. Let me get to one more here. The last one is renew your hearts and your thoughts. Renew your heart and your thoughts with truth. Combat rumination with inspiration. And give the Holy Spirit material to work with. Begin to fill your life with the promises of Scripture, with the Word of God. Do the hard work of strengthening your inner world. Your heart is the structural strength of your life. So what you put into it does matter. And you know, I've got this picture here. You guys can throw it up. This was my week. And I had to reach about 3 feet behind where you see my head to get, it's called a sister rafter, attached to these trusses to support the strength of this roof line. I spent the whole week, I spent 3 days like that, digging around, fixing a roof. And, you know, I would compare this to heart work. It's like, nobody's going to see this ever. The owner won't even see it. I'm going to have it closed before they get home. And all of this work and this time and this effort is just going into structure. But that structure could save someone's life down the road. That somebody doesn't leave a grandchild in the dining room to take a nap in a carrier, and then a roof collapses on that child because a structure had been compromised and nobody dealt with it. Take the time to reinforce your heart and your mind with truth. Meditate on Scripture. David was a master of this. I'm going to finish with this. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to finish with this psalm. And I think, you know, in reading David, I think he was like kind of an emotional guy. But he knew how to pull himself out of his emotion and change his focus. He knew what to put into his heart in times of trial. You can just follow along with me. Psalms 121. I lift my eyes towards the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And then just take a moment. You can even close your eyes. Lift your eyes inwardly to where am I looking for my help to come from? Am I looking to a government? Am I looking for somebody else to come and rescue me? Or am I looking to the Lord? Am I trusting that the maker of heaven and earth will be there to help me? And then just continue to listen as I read. As David wrote this, he will not allow your foot to slip. Your protector does not sleep. Indeed, the protector of Israel does not slumber or sleep. The Lord protects you. You can just say, the Lord protects me. He is a shelter by my right side. The sun will not strike me by day, and the moon by night. The Lord will protect me from all harm. He will protect my life. He will protect my coming and my going, both now and forever. Father, I thank you that you have given us promises of your Holy Spirit, that your Holy Spirit will be our protector, be our comforter, be our teacher and our guide. And Lord, we just declare right now, we need your Holy Spirit. We need your strengthening. Where we've allowed the distractions of this world to fill our heart and distract us. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would take and fill our hearts with your love in its place. Let's just say this. Holy Spirit, I invite you to fill my heart, to fill my life with God's love. I invite you to lead me, to teach me, to comfort me, and to convict me. Would you lead me into the way of life that you have for me? And give me the wisdom to guard my heart, to understand how to guard my heart, to protect it and strengthen it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I want to pray one more prayer. It's just a prayer. Maybe you're here and you've never actually said yes to following Christ or following in his ways. And we're going to pray one more prayer. If you want to be included in that prayer, you can just pray with us. Let's pray. Jesus, I say yes to you. Would you come into my life? I want to follow you and follow your ways. Would you forgive me of my sin? Give me a new start. Help me live in the reality of your purpose and your love for my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.